Hello, and welcome to the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast, as taught by the Reverend Dr. Audrey Akins, where we share revelatory concepts and biblical principles that may often inspire, challenge, and stimulate you to see God's Word from a deeper and sometimes different perspective. Now for today's Word, here's your instructor, Dr. Audrey Akins.
Good evening. I'm going to be coming to you today from the subject I call Deny, Deny, Deny. It's part of the series that I've done on God Sees and Says. And then this particular part of the series, I'm going to be talking about the keys of David, which are, in reality, the Old Testament version of the keys of the kingdom that Jesus was promising to give to Peter. When he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter gave his revelation, and the Lord said to him, "Oh, you are Simon Barjona, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom." So, what are these keys? Because we need to use these keys if we are to fulfill what the Lord requires of us. You know, many times we try to do things to manipulate God and ask of God and require of God, things that we want him to change and want him to fix. And he has a requirement for us. And that requirement is given in Romans 12, 1 through 2. And in that verse of scripture, it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." What does that mean? It means be holy and acceptable unto God. And guess what? That's but our reasonable service. So how do we go about doing this? It says, well, second verse says, don't be conformed to this world. Okay. But what? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may be evidence, that you may make a showing, that you may be a shoe, that you may be a beacon before other people of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh my God, how do we do this? We've got to have the keys of the kingdom. You've got to understand what it is that the Lord has given us. Because what he's given us, every good and perfect gift that we have comes down from the Lord. So we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about deny, deny, deny. Because that's what this is all about. Having to deny ourselves. Present ourselves a living sacrifice. And when we do it, don't do it foolishly. But do it being holy and acceptable unto God, not each other, not according to your standard or my standard or what we think will work or what somebody else used that works. What is it God is requiring of me? So we want to look at this thing called the key of David. It's something that is mentioned in the Word twice. It's mentioned in the Old and the New Testament, and that's what I love about it. About doing these word studies and these study guides, because I'm a revelatory instructor. And that means I go in there and I dig out the nuggets as the Holy Spirit leads me to pull forth what he wants to impact your life and bring you life applicable change. So I wanted to know about this key of David, and I found that it is both in Revelation 3 and 7, which says Jesus is identifying himself to John, who he's given a revelation of the end times. He said, "Tell the church in Philadelphia that I am he that is holy, true, and I have," which means I apply, I have and apply the key of David, "for he also," or Jesus, "he also opens doors no man can shut, and shuts doors no man can reopen." So also mentioned again in Isaiah 22:22. And that's what I like about when you find these revelatory concepts, being able to confirm their existence in both the Old and the New Testament, because what is hidden in the Old is revealed in the New. What was done before will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. What God has said before, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what? He's still alive and speaking today. He still speaks through His word today as Rhema word. His word is not dead, and neither is God. So, this key of David, he developed in the early days of his reign. When things would happen, and you know, he was a worshiper. He was a psalmist, even when he was in the sheep coat tending his father's sheep, because David started out as a shepherd. But he learned about God while he was out there dealing with his father's sheep. And what happened was God sent Samuel because he was seeking a man after his own heart, meaning a man that would pursue his heart. A man that would be tender towards his heart. A man that could be turned by the heart of God. By knowing the will of God. By knowing whether he pleased him or failed him. You know, it's just like our relationship with your father. You know, or some great person in your life that you really want to please. You're after their heart. You want to please them. You want to make them happy with you. And this is how David was, and God knew it. And so he sent Samuel to his family to anoint him. Even though he had a king already in place, he was going to anoint David to take Saul's place. Why? Because Saul never submitted to being God's king. Saul was the people's king. Saul didn't have a heart after God. He didn't know how to deny himself. The word says that he hid himself behind the presence that the people brought because he didn't want to own up to and be worthy of the God that had called him. And so God sent Samuel to anoint David. Mm-hmm. And when he did, he returned to the sheep coat. You know, that's how God is with us. You know, he'll anoint us and make a, you know, you feel that thing come upon you. And you're like, oh my God, he's ready for me to go. And then he tells you, hurry up and wait sometimes. And he puts you back in a place where all that you felt rolling around in you seems not to do you any good. But you see, God has to teach us how to deny ourselves. You see, because zeal can cause you to run out there ahead of God. And so he taught him how to deny himself by anointing him and then sending him right back to being the least likely to succeed in his family. Even Samuel thought he was the least likely to succeed, wanting to anoint his brother over him. But God taught David himself. One of the things that we know that he did was a lion and a bear came into the sheep coat and tried to steal his father's lambs. And David, he didn't know that he had an anointing upon him to do anything supernaturally, but his psalms say that he inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, not with an E, which is just a general cursory inquire, looking for information. Oh, God, are you there? Oh, God, is it real? Oh, God, am I saved? But he inquired as one having authority, as one having presence, as one knowing who it is that you're seeking information from and expecting to be answered in return. And God showed him how to deal with that lion and the bear. No, he can't have your father's sheep. And the word says he handled that lion and that bear, single-handedly killed them both. Then there was another situation in which he was told by his father, okay, there's the Philistines and the armies of Israel are fighting. And you need to go up there and you need to take some bread and some wine for your brothers because they're over there and they're working hard and they're fighting in the battle. And poor little David, he's over here in the sheep coat. Nobody thinks he's any better than to go take some wine to somebody else that's doing battle. And the word said that they were fighting the Philistines for 40 days and 40 nights. Yet and still, the truth of the matter is, not a lick was being passed. They would run up on the brow of the hill, the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other side. And the word said they would set themselves in array. In other words, they would show their strength and show their muscles and, you know what I mean, and rear up before each other and try to intimidate each other. Nobody willing to deny nothing. And yet and still, out of the midst of the Philistines would come Goliath. Goliath was a giant. 9 feet, they tell me, and the Bible describes him as being something formidable. And every time this giant came forth, the armies of Israel would deny their God. They would deny themselves. They would turn and they would run in fear. Instead of denying themselves unto God and exalting him and saying, God, you know, we before you go again, you know, requiring of him. You see, because we can require of God. If we are his, if we are his workmen, if we are those living sacrifices, we can require of God to go before us, to withhold us, you know, to uphold us rather, you know, to be there for us. But if we're not submitted to him, which is denying yourself again, you can't expect such a thing. And so being full of fear instead of the spirit, they ran, but not David. The word said David walked up to the hill and went to give them the bread and the wine, and the cheese rather, and heard the same words that they'd been hearing for 40 days and 40 nights. Only this time he heard them as someone who has completely denied himself before the Lord. He knew that his God was greater than any uncircumcised Philistine. And so when he heard it, he heard the rants of Goliath talking about what he was going to do to God's people. He was like, hold up, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he began to inquire, what will be done? Now, this is a E. Inquire, what would be done for the man that's gonna, you know, he was asking information then. He just wanted to know because, you know, he'd been on the back burner so long. He just wanted to know if, you know, if I'm feeling all this and y'all running and I'm not, what's up? And they told him and they felt like he was full of pride. But yet Saul heard about it. So Saul decides, well, I'm going to give you your armor. If you're going to go up against Goliath, you need to have my armor because he knew who David was. See, David, God had arranged for David to be sent to Saul months before when Saul was suffering from an evil spirit God allowed to come upon him. So he knew who David was. And he also knew that when David played, that evil spirit would leave him. But he had sent him away when the Philistines had come because he didn't think he was strong enough to be in battle. But God knew what he had put in David. And so he tells David, okay, because when his counselors first told him about David, his counselors said he was a mighty man of war, even though he was only a young boy in the sheep. You see, because God will breathe on things. God will send out word before you. He will send favor before you to open doors and change men's hearts and prepare them to receive you. Why? Because you've denied yourself. I am yours, Lord. Do with me as you will. Be it unto me according to your word. That's who David was with his heart after God. And so God had already prepared. Saul knew, he remembered. They say he's a warrior, and he said he killed a lion and a bear. Okay, well, going up against Goliath then, you know, he'd rather go send David than send himself, right? Because he was full of fear. He said, but you better take my armor. Well, David inquired of the Lord this time with an eye. Can I use this armor that isn't made for me? No, that can't fit me. He got direction from the Lord. And he said, no, I'm going with what I'm familiar with. I'm taking my sling And I'm taking my integrity in God, my intimacy with God, my love for God, my love for His Word, and I'm going up against this giant who dares to defy the armies of the living God. You see, the Word called them the armies of Saul, but David righted that thing around. No, y'all need to submit yourself to God, not to Saul. You are the armies of God, and who can come against God's, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so the Word says that David, denying himself, laid aside Saul's armor, took up his slingshot, and ran up on this giant with no sword in his hand, no weapon in his hand. All he had was the Word of God. But he required of God, God, I am going in the name, in your name, as the living God. I'm going for you, and I know victory is in your hand. And what did God do? As David ran, he saw a smooth stone here and a smooth stone there, and he picked it up, and he did only what he had always done. He slung his slingshot, and God aimed that stone, and the stone hit Goliath in his most vulnerable spot. Did it kill him? No, but it brought him, it made Goliath deny himself, deny his bluster, and fall down, face down before the God that David served. And God enabled David to run up on Saul, on Goliath, take his own sword and cut off his head. So this is the David that you need to understand, that God has given credit, God has given testimony, God has honored the keys that he learned to use to move God, to keys to doors that only God can open. Because God opens great and effectual doors before us that only He can open and only He can shut. Man can't do it. But if we have the keys, sometimes when those doors seem closed, or when you realize, because these doors come with many adversaries. That's what Paul said. He said, God has opened before me a great effectual door, but there are many adversaries. So you need to know, there's always going to be adversaries we face, even when God has promised to do whatever. He will do it, but he also knows the enemy is there until his time for judgment comes. And so we find that he used those keys, and he used them well. And so he taught those keys to his son Solomon. Now, where did Solomon come in at? Well, when David finally became made king, and God gave him everything that belonged to Saul. It's a long story, so we got to jump. But when God had given him everything, and when it was the time for the kings to go out to war, instead of going to war, David got a little big-headed, and he decided to stay home and survey his kingdom. And in surveying his kingdom, he saw a beautiful woman, and the woman's name was Bathsheba. But she was somebody else's wife. She was Uriah's wife. And rather than submit himself to God, rather than deny himself and his lust, he saw her, wanted her, and figured, I'm king now, everything is mine, I'm taking her. Well, in taking her, she ended up getting pregnant. And so it was that David again, because flesh is a bad boy. Flesh decided, oh, I got to do something. Rather than repenting and going before God and saying, God, help me, inquiring of the Lord, requiring of him his mercies and grace, he decided to lean to his own understanding. And this is such a hindrance to us when we have to present ourselves as living sacrifices. He leaned to his own understanding, and in the end, he had Uriah killed and thought he got away with it. Took Bathsheba, made her his wife, so the people wouldn't know that he had committed adultery. But you need to understand, God sees everything. And when God sees, he's going to send his word to say. That's what our series is all about. God sees and says. And God saw what David had done. Though he tried to cover his tracks, God sent Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet told him a story about a man that had some sheep, and how this other man decided he was going to take, he had plenty of sheep, but he wanted to take that man's sheep took his only sheep. And David was irate when he heard the story from the prophet and said, "Ooh, that man needs to be punished." And he said, "That man is you. It's you, David. And because you have done this thing, God is going to bring the sword upon your house. And you won't have peace in your house. And by the way, that child that you and Uriah's wife have had, child's going to die. I'm going to require that child of you because it was born out of order. You saw her out of order. If you had been where you were supposed to be doing what you were supposed to do, you never would have sinned before me in the first place. I know your heart, so I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to take you out, but I'm going to tell you something. You got bloody hands, and you will never do what it is that you want to do for me, build my house." And so when Nathan left him and, you know, departed from the house, and the word says that when he departed, as soon as he departed, David got word that the child had fallen sick. He felt so sick that it was nigh unto death. And so David, loving the child and loving Bathsheba, sadly, more than the Lord at that time, decided he was going to fast. He's going to deny himself. Why? Because he knew God was merciful. He knew God would be gracious if he denied himself. So he decided to use it, but he decided to do a denying that's manipulative. You know, there's fastings that we do that are right. There are fastings where we really humble ourselves before the Lord. That's why I say deny, deny, deny. There's three different kinds of denying. You know, we're not going to go into the Hebrew words tonight, but I need you to understand, if you go on with this study, we'll break that down for you. But in the meantime, there's three types of deny. There's the deny where we fast before the Lord and we give up what it is that he requires of us, you know, be it something we eat or somebody, you know, some light thing, some little thing. Then there's the foolish fasting. And that's the foolish fasting where we're trying to be manipulative. You know, we're trying to turn God's heart. We're trying to get over. We try to act like we don't know that if it had not been for him, where would we be? You know, and we think that maybe I know the word enough that I can use the word against God, and we try to require it of him, remind him, "I'm your child and you're not supposed to let me fail," or "I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. How can you expect anything of me?" Right? But then there is the denying that David did. Now, first, he did the first kind of denying. He fasted. He prayed. He threw himself down in the dirt. He humbled himself so that everybody could see how remorseful he was, and how he trusted God enough to throw himself on his mercies and beg for his son's life. And he thought that would move the heart of God, you know, because 7 days went and he ate nothing. And everybody was concerned about him, not concerned about his sin, concerned about him. And, "Oh, David, eat something." "No, in case God would have mercy and heal the child, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay down here in the dirt." But after 7 days, it didn't move God. That key didn't work. The door, the great effectual doors that he knows God had opened before him all his life since he was a shepherd, seemed shut fast. He couldn't find his way into the presence of the Lord. It didn't open up unto him as it used to when he would play before the Lord. And so what he did instead was he got up and he looked at his men, and he could tell by the way they were whispering that something was wrong. And the words that he perceived the child was dead. Well, he didn't get that information from flesh and blood. God let him know, "I did what I said I was going to do." See, God don't need to tell us we sin. We know when we sin, and we know when we're reaping what we sowed. He just thought he could turn the judgment of God. Key don't work. And so when he saw that, he asked him, he said, "Well, is the child dead?" They said, "Yes, the child is dead." And when they told him that, he applied the third fast, the third denial. The word says he got up, he washed himself, cleansed himself, washed himself, and then he anointed himself, and he went in unto the Lord, and he worshiped. That is presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, wanting to be found holy and acceptable unto God. Not seeking something for yourself. Not asking God, fix my mess. Not asking God, be moved by, look at all I've done for you. But presenting ourselves like, oh my God, what have I done? God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. God, I can't find you anywhere. But I know if I fly to the utmost, you're there. If I go down to the lowest place, you're there. God, that's where I want to be. I want to be where you are. And guess what? God heard him. Did the child miraculously change and come back from life? No. But David found he was changed. You know when the Spirit of the Lord comes back to you. You know when God's peace comes back up in your spirit because you required it of him. God, I need your presence. God, I need your love. I love you more than I love that. I love you more. I love your presence more than I love my child, my wife, my job, my house, my money. I need to know that you're there. And that's the key that works before God. So we've talked about the keys of David. And we've touched on for you about requiring of the Lord. And now we've talked about deny, deny, deny. As we begin to close, I just want to share with you what the word says happened when David decided to get up and go in and worship and inquire of the Lord anew. And the word says in 2 Samuel 12:19-24, when David saw his servants whispering, he perceived his child was dead. Therefore he inquired of his servants, is the child dead? They said, yep, he's dead. So he arose from the dirt where he lay, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, went into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped there. Only then did he return to his house. And when his servants brought food, as they had so many times before, and he refused, this time, when he required it of them, they set the bread before him, and he ate. Now the servants, when they saw that, they said, what is this thing that you're doing, that you fasted a whole week, wept incessantly for the child while I was alive, but when the child is dead, you now rise up and eat bread? We don't understand. Teach us this way. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept. For I said, who knows, God might be gracious that he might let the child live. But now he's dead. So why should I go on with that fast? Why should I keep using a key that I know didn't work before God? Can I bring him back again? I can go to him, but he can't come back to me. And so the word says, David, having inquired of the Lord, having denied, denied, denied himself, instead using that key to arise, clean up, anoint, and change his way and worship God, to truly deny, God honored it. How do I know God honored it? Well, the word says that David then went in unto Bathsheba, who God then called his wife, and comforted her. And when he lay with her that night, she became pregnant with a new son. And he called that child's name Solomon. And the word says, and the Lord loved him. Loved who? David and Solomon. And Solomon would rise up to be the greatest and the wisest king. Why? Because his father David taught him the keys of David. The keys to sacrificing. The keys that work with God. You can't manipulate him. You can't change him. You can't fool him. You can't trick him. You can't deceive him. But he's got doors that he can open before you that no man can open and no man can shut. And he's giving unto us those keys to the kingdom that we might be able to be his witnesses in the earth, showing ourselves approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, knowing his good, acceptable, and perfect will being seen in us as we deny, and God bless you mightily. Grow in grace and in peace. In Jesus' name.
This concludes today's edition of the Woman of the Word Revelatory Points of Power podcast. But don't despair, just Selah for a moment, for there's yet more to come. In the meantime, if you would like additional information or to contact us, log on to the website at www.DrAudreyAikenMinistries.com. Until next time, we pray that in all you're getting, you get an understanding so that you too can be empowered and transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be blessed. This podcast is produced by Creative Impact, LLC, with all rights reserved.